Hi, it's Radhika Jones, Editor-in-Chief of Vanity Fair. If you love digging into the week's political headlines, subscribe to Vanity Fair. Our reporters take you behind the scenes of some of the biggest stories from the campaign trail to the halls of Congress. Just for our Inside the Hive listeners, save 15% on a yearly digital subscription to Vanity Fair with promo code POD15. That's vanityfair.com, promo code POD15, for 15% off 1 year of all you can read, watch, and hear.
Hi, it's Brian. Our colleagues at Wired just released a new podcast that I'm sure you will enjoy, Wired Politics Lab. And I'm really excited to share a preview of the first episode with you. Each episode of Wired Politics Lab looks at how tech is changing politics while providing analysis and conversations firmly grounded in the facts. The show will go deep on AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, parts of the internet you probably wish didn't exist, and so much more. Make sure to follow Wired Politics Lab wherever you get your podcasts. I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Wired Politics Lab, a show about how tech is changing politics. I'm Leah Feiger, the senior politics editor at Wired. Today, we're going to talk about how election deniers are mobilizing their supporters and rolling out new tech to disrupt November, and what that means for voters and the election workers already facing threats and harassment.
We're going to be engaged. We are going to understand the process and the lawful approach to the electoral system. And we're going to have options to continue to hold to those truths. We're not going to back down.
That was Katherine Engelbrecht. She's the founder of True the Vote, a group that's been effectively trying to disenfranchise voters for more than a decade. This recording is from a webinar that she led about organizing local activist groups to challenge election officials. They do this by falsely claiming that voter rolls are filled with phony registrations. And the group really became a big deal after 2020, when claims of election fraud exploded. Now, along with a bunch of other similar groups, they're hosting training sessions about how to organize on a hyper-local level. They're learning to monitor polling places, target election officials, and deploy IV3, a software tool that allows people to challenge voter rolls. Joining me today from Cork, Ireland, to talk about all of this is David Gilbert. David is a senior politics writer at Wired who just published an article all about True the Vote and groups like them this week on Wired.com. David, you sat through two whole True the Vote webinars. How was it?
It was interesting. And I think after about 5 minutes when Katrin Engelbrecht started talking about how prayers could make ice particles look more beautiful, I knew I was in for an interesting time.
Oh, I'm so glad you sat through all of that for us.
Yeah.
What exactly do they want? What does True the Vote want here?
True the Vote is coming from a place where they fundamentally believe that elections are broken and they're rigged and they're fraudulent. And what they really want is they want voter rolls to be cleaned up and they want their supporters to help them in cleaning up those voter rolls.
Why do groups like True the Vote care so much about these voter rolls? Like what specifically is drawing them to this issue?
So voter rolls are the lists of registered voters that each state or local jurisdiction maintains of the people who are able to vote in upcoming elections. So they're very important, and maintaining them and keeping them clean, as the phrasing goes, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But what True the Vote believe is that voter rolls across the country, particularly in swing states, are filled with fake or phony voters. And they believe that their mission is to go out and find these fake voters and challenge them and get them removed from voter rolls.
But these quote-unquote fake voter registrations, they aren't actual problems, right?
No, like cleaning and maintaining voter rolls and registrations is difficult because people die, people move. It's a job election officials have to do constantly and keep them updated. And obviously there are going to be people who slip through the cracks and people who move who never inform election officials that they've moved. So there will be people on the voter list who shouldn't be there.
Right.
But the figure is infinitesimally small and it is not a significant number that it could impact the outcome of any election.
But they're focusing on it anyway. Let's talk about exactly what they're doing. Like, what was in these webinars? What are they telling these local activists to do? Let's get into it.
So True to Vote, as you said, has been around for over a decade. Katrin Engelbrecht founded the group back in 2009, and she was a Tea Party activist at the time. And ever since, she's effectively been saying the same thing, that there are real issues with fraud related to voter rolls. And so when 2020 happened and that narrative suddenly became mainstream orthodoxy for the GOP because of Trump's pushing of those false claims, she suddenly was propelled to the center of this universe of conspiracy theorists, along with her close collaborator, Greg Phillips, who built the software tools that True to Vote uses or True to Vote supporters use. And so they suddenly became these kind of infamous figures, and they were involved in the 2000 Mules conspiracy theory that was created by Dinesh D'Souza.
True the Vote has the largest store of election intelligence for the 2020 elections in the world. No one has more data than we do.
It was their information that was at the heart of that movie, which was widely debunked. They were involved in mass voter challenges in Georgia, 384,000 voter challenges in Georgia.
That is just so many. They are really in the thick of it.
Yeah, and like they were hyped by pretty much everyone from Trump on down in the Republican Party because their data appeared to back up the claims that Trump was making. This time around, in 2024, they believe the problem is even greater. And so what they're doing now is they are mobilizing the supporters and the network that they have built up over the last 4 years to go out and to start challenging votes on a case-by-case basis. And that's what the relaunch of their IV3 platform is all about.
So who's using the software and how does it work?
So this software is designed for individuals. So when a user who is subscribed to IV3 logs on, what they see is basically the voter roll that has been imported from their local jurisdiction, and they can search for an address or for an individual if they have already got, you know, concerns about someone or somewhere in particular. But what they also get is a list of suspicious accounts.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. So they get to log on to that and they can go through all those suspicious accounts. And without any real proof that there is something suspicious about them, they can click challenge on that. They get a automated challenge to that voter created, which they can then send to their local election official. And it's really automating and supercharging the ability to make these voter challenges.
That's terrible. I mean, that's so dangerous.
Yeah, and the big problem is that it's based on the US Postal Service's database, and there's numerous reasons why that is not reliable.
Well, what happens when this obviously and very predictably identifies someone incorrectly? Like, what happens? What happens to the voters that are caught up in this? What happens to the election workers that are, like, dealing with these requests?
The big issue is that it just floods election officials with requests. So they have to then go through this very long and deliberate process of trying to figure out if the person that is being challenged is actually still living at the address that they're registered at.
Right.
That takes about 4 or 5 years. So that obviously is another issue that True to Vote has, because they feel that because it takes so long, the Democrats or the elites or whoever they believe is behind this are going to be able to push forward their agenda in that space of time. But of course, those measures are in place for a reason. It's because the right to vote is such a core part of being a US citizen. And the idea that you should be removed from a voter roll just because some random person with access to this IV3 tool decides that you are not who you say you are, you know, it's incredulous that that could even happen. But that's exactly what they want to happen.
I mean, this sounds like it's going to be such a mess come November. And there's a lot of other election denial groups out there that are doing similar things.
Yeah, voter rolls is just kind of a issue for pretty much every major election denial group out there, because that will then give them the ability to make the claim once an election doesn't go their way that, oh, it's because the voter rolls weren't cleaned. There are other groups who are pushing forward similar tools to IV3, like a Georgia-based group who has produced one called Eagle Eye, or spelt Eagle AI, which effectively does the exact same thing as IV3. And a county in Georgia has actually signed a contract with that company to use that to clean their voter rolls and maintain their voter rolls, which is really disturbing that someone in an elected official position has decided that this is how they should manage their voter rolls.
Right, right. And I mean, so many voter rights groups have advised against these uses, like of Eagle AI in particular, you know, like a missing comma before like a suffix has led to eligible names being removed, right?
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to the most minor of formatting inconsistencies that make a claim that they shouldn't be on the register. And now, there are checks and balances in place, which mean you can't just push a button and someone has their voter removed. But as we've seen in Georgia with Eagle AI, if a county is contracting with this company, then maybe that is something that will happen down the road, because we've constantly seen how Republican lawmakers across the country have brought forward legislation in the last 4 years to undermine voting rights in all sorts of different ways.
We have to talk about the America Project. That features former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn.
Yeah, he's, I suppose Mike Flynn is a figure that a lot of people may have not heard of for a while, because obviously he was Donald Trump's National Security Advisor for a couple of days at least. And then he got caught lying twice to the FBI.
Fantastic.
About his communications with a Russian ambassador, and he resigned or was fired or resigned before being fired or however it played out. Ultimately, he got pardoned by Trump, and then ever since the 2020 election when Trump lost, he has become the figurehead of the election denial movement.
He's everywhere.
He is never not appearing on a podcast or speaking at a conference. He's currently on a national tour promoting his own movie, which I haven't seen yet, but I can't wait to watch because it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to your reviews there. What exactly is the America Project doing?
So the America Project is an effort to kind of, once again, like all these other election denial groups, push the narrative that US elections are rigged and fraudulent, all based on absolutely nothing, just so we're clear. But what the America Project is central to that is Mike Flynn's claim that local action equals national impact. And what that means is that he wants people on every single committee, on every single school board, in every single county across the country, pushing this narrative on behalf of him, on behalf of the GOP, on behalf of Trump, and thereby creating this kind of network effect where if everyone is doing it at the same time, then it is going to have a major impact on the elections overall.
There are so many of these groups, and they feel way more organized than in 2020. And 2020 was bad.
They are, without a doubt, way more organized. Like most of these groups, but True the Vote has been around for a long time. Most of these groups have kind of formed based on the claims that have been spread from the top, from the likes of Mike Flynn, from Trump himself, from Steve Bannon. They formed in each state and counties. You know, there some of them are really local, some of them are national networks, and they have tens and thousands and millions of followers in some cases. And the America Project is one such group who has not only got kind of a network of people on a very local level, they're also deeply connected to the GOP at a national level. I kind of have to remind myself even that they're not fringe groups anymore. These groups
are... They're not. They're mainstream. They're officially mainstream. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about this institutional support. We've now gone through all of these different groups that are clearly working to disenfranchise voters and undercut the legitimacy of elections. But this movement has also taken hold at the highest levels of the GOP. I mean, the Republican National Committee has been made over in the image of election deniers.
Yeah. On the America Project webinar that I was listening into last month, right at the end, one of the organizers apologized to everyone that was listening because they had hoped to have Christina Bob appear on the webinar. And for those who may not know who Christina Bob is, she is a former presenter with the One America Network, the far-right One America Network.
And a former Trump lawyer.
Yeah. Because of that, she, when Trump kind of remade the RNC, he also appointed Christina Bob to head up their election integrity efforts, which is incredible given her history of boosting election conspiracies. And so the America Project was saying that they had spoken to the Republican National Committee and they said that she was willing to join another webinar in the future. So that just gives you a little insight into just how connected these groups, which many still call fringe, but are really, really central to the kind of broader efforts being pushed from the top down by Trump and Flynn and are being kind of pushed out then at a local level across the country.
When we come back, David and I are going to talk with Wired staff writer Victoria Elliott about the impact of all of these groups on voters and election workers today.
Thanks for listening to this preview. To hear the rest of the episode, follow Wired Politics Lab wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with more Inside the Hive next Thursday.
America has a problem, one that is uniquely ours. On the new season of Long Shadow, I delve into the complicated history of firearms from the Second Amendment to the AR-15. I try to make sense of how we got here and how we might find a path forward. From Longlead, PRX, and Campside Media, in collaboration with The Trace, I'm Garrett Graff, and this is Long Shadow, In Guns We Trust. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.